Earlier this week, I had a chance to talk to legendary high school basketball coach Bob Wade. If you missed part one of that interview, there's a link below. This is part two of my interview with Bob Wade on High School Sports Uncensored. Here with Bob Wade. This is High School Sports Uncensored. I'm Rob Long. Now, we know the team that became the national championship team, we know that that wasn't the Big Bang Theory. We know that something else had to happen. When you talk about Muggsy Bowles, Reggie Lewis, Reggie Williams, David Wingate, the names go on and on and on. My buddy Eric Green, who was a part of that team.
Yeah.
That wasn't a Big Bang. You had to put that together. How did that team come together?
Well, again, it really started. Well, Mr. Lee was. These kids played with Mr. Lee, and they all wanted to. All the kids wanted to stay together. They attended Lombard Junior High at that time. They attended that school, and they wanted to stay together. They played with Mr. Lee. They went to middle school together, and they all wanted to come to Dunbar together. Mark Wilson, who played at Calvert Hall, Tubman, who played at Calvert Hall, all those kids were together. Dwayne Farrell, all those kids were together in that Lombard community.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it really came about when those kids came into the program.
How long did it take before you didn't know you had something special with that group?
I think when we went to New York, we played up in New York. Up in the City College of New York, we played, I can't even remember the name of the team now, Ed Davender's team, City High, I can't remember. But anyway, we played up in New York, and we were losing, and we came back, and of course, they were down. The crowd was anti-Dunbar.
Mm-hmm.
It was a local crowd, and they really hung together, and we pulled the game out. And it was a sense of pride and camaraderie. They really band together, and that's when and I realized, even when in the thick of battle, when we were down and we had to press. Muggsy was the catalyst. You know, he stole the ball. He set folks up. That's when when it was over, I said, hey, we might have something special here.
Mm-hmm. It's always that moment, isn't
it? Yeah. You know, we had a guy 6'7" who could play inside, outside, and Reggie Williams. He had talent coming off the bench with the late Reggie Lewis. Of course, Wingate was just phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
And out the supporting cast. You mentioned Eric Green, that group.
Mm-hmm.
They were very supportive.
Yeah, Tree, you had all those guys.
Herman had Reed. You're right, yeah.
Tremendous. I remember, I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
Sneaking into the gym, trying to watch you guys,
man. It was a great group.
Tell us something about the late, great Reggie Lewis that we may not know.
Reggie Lewis, wow. He was very, Reggie Lewis was a very quiet individual. Didn't say much. You'd almost have to pull words out of him. And ironically, he came into the program because, you probably heard the story. He tried out for his high school team. He attended Patterson High School,
mm-hmm.
and he was cut by the coach. The coach felt he couldn't play, and Reggie's dream was to play with his brother Irwin. Irwin was the starting point guard at Patterson High School, and Reggie Lewis was not able to make the team. He was cut, and he played a little rec ball with Cecil Kirk, and Anthony Lewis, who was the coach of the rec team, told me to come over and watch him play, and I said, hey, he can play. So Reggie's mom, I talked to her, and anyway, he transferred into Dunbar High School. But he was a very quiet individual, almost a loner. You almost had to pull words out of him, but he worked extremely hard. He wouldn't say much, but he could really play. I used to kid him about his jump shot. I mm-hmm. thought he had very little hitch in his jump shot, and it didn't lift it. And he would come in the gym, get the toss back out early, and just work on his you know, on his triple threat position, ball fake, and releasing the ball at his highest point with a jump shot. He would go over and over and over again. And he really perfected his shot.
Coach Wade, you used the word camaraderie a little bit earlier, and I had a chance, the privilege of going to Dunbar last summer of, what was that, 17, when they hit the premiere of the 30 for 30 special.
Correct.
And a lot of those guys came back for that premiere of that 30 for 30 special, the Baltimore boys. And grown men, when they talked about you, still came to tears. 30, 40 years later, they still came to tears when they talked about their coach. They still refer to you as coach.
Yeah.
I know how close you are with your boys, your sons.
Yeah.
I know your sons personally.
Yeah.
But it has to be a different feeling to know kids who aren't really your offspring still see you that way, the way this talking about you brings them to tears.
Rob, it's a tremendous feeling. For example, like Muggsy just called the other day. Hadn't talked to him in maybe a couple of weeks.
And that's a long time for you.
Yeah, and he called because he'd been out of the country. He called and I said, you know, I called him Short Man. I said, Short Man, how you doing? He said, I'm doing fine, Coach. He said, I'm just calling to check on you, see how you're doing. I said, I'm doing fine. Thanks for the call. And we just sit and talk. The same way with Reggie Williams and Tim Dawson. He's always, Coach, let's go to the movie. Can you meet you and your wife? Can you meet us, my wife and I, for dinner? That relationship is still there. It's a very close-knit relationship. And it really makes you feel good because, you know, you work with them when they were young, young adults, and now they've grown into very productive citizens. Timmy's doing extremely well. Reggie Williams, Muggsy, of course, has his own foundation. He's an ambassador for the NBA. He just came in from Taiwan and doing things with the NBA. So it really makes you feel good that these kids still have you. Keep you in mind and also call to check on you.
Now, I know you're good at what you do. I know you know that because you're not oblivious to what goes on around you. But from my experience with you, how have you been able to have so much success but yet remain so humble, so grounded? What is the key to that other than Mrs. Wade?
No. Yeah, you're right. No, my wife for 52 years, you're right. No, we dated in college and we married and it's been, you know, 52 blessed years. But the other person that keeps me grounded, believe it or not, is my 100-year-old mom.
Okay.
Yeah, she just celebrated her 100th birthday. And,
that's awesome.
She keeps me grounded also. But no, I'm just blessed to have been given an opportunity to do the thing that I really love, and that's to work with young student athletes, coach, but more importantly, you know, give back to the community. That's what I really enjoy doing. You know, I've been able to use an athletic skill that I had to get a college degree, and then to come back in the community and work within the community. Was fortunate enough to be given a position on the next level, you know, collegiate level. It didn't work out, but now I'm back in the community, doing what I can to help the youth. You know, we do this thing that you help us with, the Basketball Academy. It's
tremendous.
Yeah, it's a tremendous event that we do. It's not just basketball, but as you know, it's the workshops. We deal with conflict resolution, SAT. But just different workshops. We take the kids out to interact with the senior citizens. They read to the seniors. They help feed the seniors. So it's not just basketball.
My kids love the seminars. There's one seminar just for women.
Yes,
that's there, and they've been in that seminar 3 years now. And every year they come back. No, 2 years. I'm sorry. This will be the third year coming up. Every year they come back from that seminar talking about what they learned at that seminar. And I think it teaches them. It just so happened that I think I kind of wandered in the room the first year with him and not realizing that I wasn't supposed to be there.
Yeah, for women only. Yeah,
yeah. She said to me, she said, you know what? There's a vibe right now with you. You're going to be the first man that ever sat in this room. I said, no, I'll leave. No, I want you to sit down. And it was just, I agree with you. The basketball exposure, you know, I'm all right. about that. I'll play you on the back of the yard. You know, right. It doesn't matter. But the exposure that these kids get beyond that, I can't put words to be honest.
Yeah,
with you. It's just tremendous. Now, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I'm just saying, you know, things like that, coming back in the community, being able to give back to the community. That's what I'm extremely proud of.
Now. You influence, do you consider yourself a trailblazer?
Not really.
Okay, and I'm going to ask you the genesis of my question.
Okay.
I never played for you. And there are dozens of coaches like me who you influence, like me, who never played for you. I never sat in the gym during your practice. I never sat in your huddle. I never saw you write on a dry eraser board. But yet I know personally other coaches, Robert Scott, good friend of mine, you know, who you influenced even though we never played for you. And there are a lot of things that you did back in the day that we try to mimic and copy. That to me is the definition, coach, of a trailblazer. Yet you don't consider yourself a trailblazer. And I knew the answer to that question before I asked you.
No, I really don't. I don't consider myself a trailblazer. I had a young man, I know you call me a lot and we talk. I had a young man from North Carolina who contacted Glenn Graham from the Baltimore Sun, mm-hmm. trying to get my number to talk with me. And Glenn Graham called and said, Bob, do you mind if I give this young man your phone number? Or your email address, and he told me why. I said, "Yeah, feel free." So the young man made contact with me, and he teaches teaches at a church school in North Carolina, and he wanted to talk with me to get some pointers. He said he's read a lot about me, heard a lot about me. And he just wanted to...
How old is he? I'm just curious.
I think he's 25 years old. He's 25.
Coach, he's two generations removed from, you know what I mean? Three generations, yeah. Arguably. That's my point. When we played it at the basketball academy, I told my daughter, who at the time was 15, uh-huh. who you were. And naturally, what do 15-year-olds do in this world? They look you up.
I remember.
She came back to me and said, Dad, Mr. Wade, a bad man. I said, yeah. So now she knows. So that to me is the definition of a trailblazer, coach. And I respect the fact that you don't see it that way. But, you know, it's one of those cases where you may be wrong. you might be wrong.
Yeah, his name is, the young man's name is DeShannon Morris. He coaches at Grace Christian School in Raleigh, North Carolina. And, I'm just looking at his email. He says, I'm a huge fan of yours from afar. I saw and heard great things about you on ESPN special they did on you and your program, and also read articles about you. I'm looking for wisdom and insight on how to remain impactful in the lives of young people as it relates to helping them become better men through the lessons of basketball. And he goes on and on and on. That's...
Because watching your special, what he got out of that was that's what you were all about.
Yeah.
He didn't say he wanted to win.
No.
I didn't see anywhere in that email where he wanted to win games.
No.
He said in that email that he wanted to influence lives, because out of everything that he got from that 30 for 30 special, he got the impact and the influence you have on these young men's lives.
Exactly.
Now, I guess, you know, to kind of wrap it up, although I'm in no hurry, looking at high school basketball today, how are we getting it right, and what are we getting wrong?
The thing that really irks me, mm-hmm. and when I sit and watch high school games, it's just too much dribbling. to me, sure, the game has changed now. It's not the game is more open. You know, they everybody's talking about have adequate spacing, but it's a lot of dribbling, unnecessary in my opinion. Instead of ball movement, you know, the fundamentals, you know, screen, pick, screen, roll. It's just too much. It's just too much dribbling to get to what you're trying to do. yeah, I think you can pass the ball and break to the basket quicker than you can than dribble. So, but the game is more wide open now. It's not a postman game anymore. It's more perimeter, slashing to the basket, up tempo. It's a lot of that now, but the game has changed.
What are we getting right?
But I think what we're getting right. We're allowing kids they're giving kids more freedom as far as showing their natural talent. You know. As far as ball handling, things of that nature. It's just too individualized. I know I'm repeating myself, but it's just too much dribbling.
I agree with you. I mean, one of the things that I emphasize, and I laugh because I'm gonna copy that you saying that and play it in our first practice next week, because I completely agree with you. There's way too much individualization.
Correct.
In the game of basketball now, way too much dribbling. You can advance the ball a lot better on a pass. Now, Mayor's Academy, Basketball Academy, begins January 17th.
January 17th, 18th, 19th on the campus of Morgan State University.
You know any of some of the teams that might be in there this year?
Yeah, it's...
Other than us. Other than Malcolm with girls
you got,
basketball.
You got some of the female teams... Pikesville,
yeah,
they had a tremendous year last year. Of course, Mount Carmel, Spalding, young ladies.
Okay, is Western back in it?
Western, and
is Kendall bringing Polly back?
No, Kendall's not in it this year. Oh, and Forest Park.
Forest Park is in it.
Forest Park. You know, they play in the – they don't play in the division with Western and Poly.
Right.
But they've been doing extremely well over the last 4 or 5 years.
They have been.
So we wanted to give them an opportunity to bring their young ladies in. I got Reggie Williams coming in with his team. Reggie Williams coaching a team out of a church school out of – it was Kings – King's Christian Academy.
Okay.
Out of St. Mary's County.
That's all right.
And so
that
Reggie's
ought to be
coming.
Special. That ought to be special. I want to stay for that one.
Yeah. So Reggie's going to be there. And, you know, we have the Lake Cliftons, the Dunbars, and.
It's a basketball junkie's paradise.
It is.
I'm telling you
this.
I sit and watch and just sit in the stands and watch. I love events like that because you get so many great and so many talented kids under one roof. You don't
and,
get that
and
too
you
often.
See the various coaching philosophies also. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. Like I had an opportunity to watch your philosophy. You know, you.
Oh, what's my philosophy?
No,
coach?
You. First of all, you're well organized.
Thank you.
And. And you really encourage your young ladies, but you're very structured. You have control of your team, and you believe in simplicity. You don't believe in having complex offensive situations. You allow kids to go with the flow of the game.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I watch you.
Thank you.
You and your three-piece outfits on time. I watch you. No, very, very, very dapper. Very dapper on the sidelines. Very dapper.
You coach your young ladies. You got to.
Yeah, very impressed. Very impressed.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Coach Wade, this has been an honor, my friend.
It's my pleasure.
An absolute honor. I can't wait to see you in January. Hope to maybe grab lunch before then, and you tell Mrs. Wade that I said hello.
Same here. And, tell your lovely wife and your assistant coach, your son. Boy, I tell you,
that's my dude.
He's right there with you. But just please, you know, tell him hello. And your daughter, I know your daughter's doing extremely well on the collegiate level.
Yes.
So you've done well, Rob. You've done well.
I've tried.
Okay.
I've tried. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
This is Baltimore. Correction, this is High School Sports Uncensored. Rob Long, and we just enjoyed Bob Wade. We'll see you next week. Thanks a lot.